Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey everyone, it's Billy Morrison and Ozzy Osbourne here. Our new show, The Madhouse Chronicles, is dropping this April. Join us as we watch and react to the maddest internet clips. What do we discuss, Ozzy?
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, all that kind of shit.
Drugs, rock and roll, aliens, and all that kinds of shit. Visit osbournemediahouse.com for early access. What do you say? Do you think it's the wildest show on the internet?
Oh.
You're in the madhouse now.
Ahoy hoy everybody, and welcome to Talking Simpsons, the Laser Time Podcast Network's chronological exploration of the Simpsons. And this week we're brought to you by Gorilla Man Scalp Blaster, which may or may not work. I'm sorry guys, I just reading the copy as it was provided to me. And this week's episode is Simpson and Delilah, the second episode of the second season, which aired on October 18th, 1990. Chris, what happened on this magical day in history?
Oh, news, news, news.
Well, Bobby, Two Live Crew is on trial over obscenity. Legendary composer Leonard Bernstein dies, and Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev is awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in his part for ending the Cold War.
Way to go. But I thought it was Reagan. They told me it was Reagan all along.
They didn't even give Reagan no Nobel Peace Prize, man.
They gave him a library. That was enough.
You know, so people who weren't alive don't understand any of those words. But since we were, I love emphasizing how fucking old The Simpsons is.
I will say Two Live Crew was very important for free speech laws.
Yeah.
Like, I'm so glad they're me so horny song.
Me and Hank being Floridians, it's also where we got to be introduced to Jack Thompson on television
That's
every day.
That's right, because...
That was his first whale that he chased out.
Rap was scarier than video games at one point, right?
It's pretty nuts. I mean, it's all fairly hard. It's just like a bunch of, you know, just a couple of black dudes rapping about their dicks. Like, it's not...
There are worse things in the world.
It's wonderfully misogynistic.
But the children...
But again, that wasn't the problem.
Yes. And this episode is totally about Homer getting hair.
I love this.
And it was a direct reference to Damoxenil.
Damoxenil.
Oh, wait, sorry. Is it...
Minoxidil.
Okay.
It's Damoxenil.
Damoxenil is the parody.
Yeah.
Minoxidil is the real thing.
Oh, yeah. I see.
That's which, my parents had to explain that to me. I had no idea the idea, like, oh, people lose hair? Oh, and there's a thing that gives you back hair?
Well, it gave me the impression that, like, if I ever go bald, there's an expensive option.
Yeah.
And well, it's not a... but anyway.
It's now over-the-counter, minoxidil. You can just buy it on the store shelves.
I think Rogaine is as well.
Yeah. And I don't think anyone at the Laser Time Podcast Network can identify with it. We're all hirsutes, I guess.
I disagree, but this episode is about Homer getting hair. I had a freckle... underneath my hairline, and I told myself, I think I told the story only once somewhere else, if I ever see that freckle, I will take countermeasures to retain my hair. So about 10 years ago, for about 3 years, I had a Propecia prescription that I got as like purely preventative of like something ever happened. It helped the short and curlies on the back not come in, because man, did those come in after I stopped taking it.
Is that a pill or a suppository?
It's a pill, Bobby.
I had a friend who had a topical cream, a Rogaine, and when he moved to Japan, and it was a losing battle. He's now pretty... I think he just gave in and shaved it off. But this 10 years ago when he moved to Japan, he actually asked me to mail him Rogaine because you can't buy it over the counter in Japan.
You just go bald and get curmudgeonly in Japan.
So I believe...
Can I just get this clip out of the way because I love it so much? It's the opening of the episode.
Okay, the capital of North Dakota is named after what German ruler?
Hitler!
Hitler, North Dakota?
Bismarck.
Bismarck.
Oh. Hey, I'm still beating you, boy.
At the end, they reveal it's a... grade school... It's an elementary school challenge.
Yeah.
And Homer still loses.
I do enjoy the Simpsons eating while watching TV because I rarely ate any meal at a dinner table
A
lot of friends did. Like, I was always eating in front of the TV with my parents.
My parents are really against that.
All those TV trays. Now, we totally... If we were eating looking at this TV screen in the same room, that would still be a big deal.
Yes.
We just went to separate rooms.
I have written down, however, at this point... a giant family, even with extended family, watching a single screen is absolutely Rockwellian.
Yeah,
you will,
it is.
You will not ever see that. It's like it's so positive and warm, and it makes me very happy to see, and I'll never see it again.
This is not The Simpsons, but I do like how Rick and Morty has characters just like looking at their iPhones or playing with an iPad, like at the dinner table, because that is like modern reality. Yeah, and it feels like The Simpsons, like being representing in this area too.
Oh, wait, so the plot is Homer gets hair. And he succeeds, and then loses the hair.
Right.
And he's back down to the bottom.
Yeah.
And it just shows how arbitrary the business world is. Homer fails upwards because of his hair. That's basically it.
I have a clip of Homer wanting hair. I love this clip because I love the
that
commercial.
That is the best.
But it also shows you how early in The Simpsons it is. There's, like, I edit a lot of audio. And what you'll hear in here is Harry Shearer take a deep breath before he starts rattling stuff off.
Ooh, okay.
And I love it's something you wouldn't hear nowadays.
I used to think that losing my hair was as inevitable as the tides. Then I found out about Demoxenil, the new miracle breakthrough in hair regrowth.
Miracle breakthrough? There's been a miracle breakthrough?
The odds are Demoxenil can help me grow as much or as little hair as I want to. Hey, today I'm gonna do it.
For your free brochure, send $5 to Demoxenil, 485 Hair Plaza, Hair City, Utah.
Hair. Hair. Just like everybody else.
I did hear the...
Yeah, you can hear him take a huge, huge breath.
Yeah.
The joke goes by really fast, but that's actually one of my favorite jokes of the thing. For free brochure, send $5 to...
Yeah. Hair City, Utah.
Hair City, Utah.
Beautiful.
You know, there was like a San Pueblo, Colorado free pamphlet advertised on TV a lot in the 90s. I forget what it was for, but please let us know if you remember.
I love those old infomercials where it's like, if you want more information... First, get an envelope, then get a pen, then get a stamp, and then maybe.
They get two envelopes, a self-addressed stamped envelope.
S-A-S-E.
I will say that what I thought about this episode was, episode one of second season was Bart has his miracle. This is Homer's miracle.
Yeah.
Because Demoxenil is like a magic hair growth potion.
It is the perfect drug.
Yes.
It works better than any drug ever has for anything.
Literally overnight, Homer has more hair than I do, and I'm a long-haired hippie jerk.
Yeah, and not only that, I love all, like, every scene is a different hairstyle.
Yes, that's great. And that was intentional, too.
Yeah, it's so funny, and when he talks to his healthcare provider, he talks about his healthcare and like Demoxenil's $1,000. Let me get this out of the way. And Lenny and Carl, Lenny almost now sounding like Lenny. If you listen to our first season,
this is Lenny and Carl working as a team too.
They do.
Like this is the first Lenny.
But
and
he also
Carl
doesn't sound like Mo like he did in the first season. Right. Patreon.com/LaserTime to hear the first season people.
Homer, don't be a sap all of your life. Just fill out a few medical insurance forms creatively. Charge that Demoxenil stuff to the company.
But it's $1,000. Burns would can my butt in no time flat.
Ooh, $1,000? So what? To Mr. Burns, that's one less ivory back scratcher.
Yeah. Besides, you pay money into the insurance fund every week. What do you ever get out of it?
Nothing. Well, that newsletter.
That is true, because I had a 401k for about 9 months, and every, like, maybe 2 months, I received, like, an entire package about it. Like, there is no money in this. Leave me alone.
How much money do they spend on mailing?
I had a job with a major company. I lost that job, and I wanted to get my medication. Hey, if you listen to the last episode, it was Adderall, which I can't. If anybody wants to send me some, that'd be great. Demoxenil is $1,000, and he's like, without health insurance, I'm like, can I get one more prescription? And he's like, I have 1 day left on my health insurance. Can I get a prescription? And he's like, what if I picked it up tomorrow? And he's like, you couldn't afford it. Yes. Like, what do you mean? How much are these generic? They're generic versions of the pill. How much? And it was like $6,000.
Yeah, like $1,000 was like, that's like toenail fungus treatment in today's insurance world.
I didn't listen to this podcast for politics.
It's not politics. It's something that really happened to me.
It is the reality of the insurance world.
I had that recently where I thought I still had my work insurance, but it had run out like the day before. And so when I got there, I said, well, okay, then I'll just pay whatever it is to have this appointment that isn't even a prescription thing. Mm-hmm. They're like, well, it cost $100. Like, I don't like that, but all right, I should do it. And then they said, well, no, it's $100, and then another charge later. How much? We don't even know. So I would just be agreeing to, you can charge me whatever number you think of.
If you have to ask, you can't afford it.
Yeah, but that's so weird with healthcare. Like, it's pretty unbelievable, actually. Like, it's like this secret, it's fucking Stonecutter's horse shit. Like, if you're in the club, so when I you get a normal price.
For
if
sure.
Not,
yeah. When I think of how much I hate rich people and all their power, I always think back to that ivory back scratcher thing and just like, yeah. Oh no, this guy won't. Oh, well, they tax the rich with another like $3,000 thing. They won't be able to get that ivory back scratcher.
And Burns explicitly mentions that.
Hold on,
back scratcher.
We'll get
okay,
there.
I'm
we'll
sorry.
Get there.
I'm sorry.
But here's, I got another Burns clip because Homer has grown, he gets to Moxonel and he grows hair. And I love his first haircut, by the way. The fucking bob.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
And like he goes to get a haircut like from his barber, and he's like, "I haven't seen you in 20 years. You finally got rid of those sideburns." And I'm so happy to know in the flashback sequences, Homer has giant sideburns.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
It gets, checks out
in the way we was, right?
In the way we was.
And he gets his 72 haircut, which is how long it's been.
So Burns is scouring the security cameras. I love Burns.
Pathetic morons in my employ stealing my precious money. This is hopeless. None of these cretins deserves a promotion.
It's in the union contract, sir. One token promotion from within per year.
Wait, who is that young go-getter?
Well, it sort of looks like Homer Simpson, only more dynamic and resourceful.
Simpson, eh?
I do like the commentary, like, the union is that weak that they can only get one token promotion per year.
For junior executive, which is, like, the biggest joke of a title ever.
Yeah, but it's like, it's just like, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, Homer would be completely, like, out of his league if it wasn't for one dude. And Carl, and Carl...
I love Carl.
Carl, to me, is the weirdest guest star ever on the Simpsons.
Hobby Feisty.
It's Hobby Feisty.
That's such a fun voice to
do. But think about all the guest stars the Simpsons have. None of them do good. And none of them leave. They're all flawed or they're all assholes. Like, this is like the only...
Oh, you mean the characters they play.
The character of Carl, there's no other guest star like Carl.
He's a sterling human being.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, I was reading about this.
Exemplary.
And Harvey Fierstein, the character was supposed to look like him, but he said, "I don't look like a typical gay guy." So they made him, like, this beautiful, muscular, blonde, like Adonis.
See, that was my next question. Like, knowing now, which I didn't know back then, that Harvey Fierstein is gay... Is Carl gay?
He's totally gay.
Yeah,
and they
right?
talk about it during the commentary. And it's been a while since I've seen this. Maybe like 15 years.
Yeah.
But like I'm watching this, knowing Carl is gay. Like I'm gonna go say goodbye to the gals in the typing pool. It's like
of
course.
All that stuff. A pat on the butt, the kiss.
Well,
the
and
lips.
When they show his apartment, it's just like this is such an effete apartment. It reads a gay man's apartment in 1990.
So much of these early.
Did you set up your gaydar, Hank?
Well, I didn't know who Harvey Fierstein was.
Me
my
neither.
Mom.
So Mrs. Doubtfire.
I found out who he was because my mom told me, like, no, you know, he's the Saturday Night Live character. I just want to be loved.
The
is
John Lovitz,
so
right?
Yeah, that he does the Harvey
What
Fierstein
is Harvey
stuff.
Fierstein famous for?
He was a playwright and an actor. He did the Torch Song trilogy in the 80s. He was
right.
He was at the vanguard of 80s gay theater and writing.
So, Mrs. Doubtfire, that's all
and
I
he
got.
Also, like, he's
Independence
one of,
Day.
Uncle Frank and Aunt Jack.
And another positive for Harvey is that, fortunately for him, he didn't die from AIDS like so many of his contemporaries.
Yeah.
So he's still around today, which is great. Just think of how many, I don't want to get people too sad, but just imagine how much more awesome art and theater would be if millions of gay people didn't die.
Basically all of those off-Broadway New York
Sorry
City.
Sorry to laugh at that. I've just never heard that said like that before.
Yeah, an astounding amount of people are no longer with us.
So this is Carl. I have Carl's intro.
Oh, awesome.
I love it. Like, because Homer has no confidence.
This
He's
is a very Mad
clearly
Man moment
out of
too.
His league.
Belong here.
Huh?
You don't belong here. You're a fraud and a phony, and it's only a matter of time until they find you out.
Who told you?
You did. You told me with the way you slump your shoulders, the way you talk into your chest, the way you smother yourself in bargain basement lime green polyester. I want you to say to yourself, I deserve this. I love it. I am nature's greatest miracle. Go ahead, say it.
I
trust me, Homer.
I
take a step and say it.
I deserve this.
Louder.
I deserve this.
Shout it.
I am nature's greatest miracle.
I am committed to the next time I have sex, which I'm fingers crossed 2016. I am going to shout, I am nature's greatest miracle.
I love their relationship because I don't think Homer understands that Carl may have a crush on him or may have feelings for him.
But that's what I don't understand about the character in general. Like, I'm not thinking of, like, as a predatory gay guy. I never thought of that until watching this episode now in context with every other... I just watched one of the new episodes. Elon Musk is on. There's a lot of jokes at his expense.
Hmm.
He's kind of made out to be a loser. Like, every guest star on The Simpsons is themselves and flawed. And what other guest star is, like, Carl is Mary Poppins.
He really is. And, yeah, and, that's a good. That's a good.
The
comparison.
Mary Poppins character on The Simpsons is killed by a fucking plane.
Yeah,
and like, but Carl isn't. He's treated very well.
He's allowed to live at the end.
I wonder that. Yeah. Well, I also wonder if they like they made Smithers worse in this episode. I think to make him. Smithers and Carl are like the same side of the coin.
Yeah, like
different sides of the same coin.
Carl's kind of a toady, just like Smithers, but he is like the positive toady, not yeah. like the like.
And he's just super supportive. Mm-hmm. I need to memorize that all the time. Like I need that kind of self confidence boost from that Carl gives.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, his character he's so funny to me when he takes it. Oh, one of my favorite lines is "Conceal it."
Conceal the fat, and he yeah. does. I love that because looking at the episode now, like yeah, they actually do stick to that. They slim Homer up,
yeah,
for like the first time, and this is one of my favorite sequences. As a little kid, I laughed a lot. As an adult, I laughed a lot. I love the singing telegram guy.
Oh right,
the anniversary, Homer.
What? Our anniversary? Are you sure?
Well, don't worry, homie. This year you have an excuse for not remembering. What with your job and
happy anniversary, Mrs. Homer Simpson.
You are so beautiful to me.
So yeah.
You are so beautiful to me. Can't you see? Can't you see?
Like even when the phone call is on, you can hear him in the background, just that, like this sad yelling croon.
That is Dan Castellaneta.
Oh, of course it is.
Has anyone
so
ever
funny.
Been around when someone was hired someone to serenade someone else?
No,
that happened to me once in an
really?
English class. The husband of an English teacher hired a mariachi band to serenade his wife, which was my English teacher, like in maybe the 10th grade. It was very embarrassing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I can't even imagine liking that. I remember not being a friend with a guy because we went to Pizza Hut for my birthday, and he's like, I'm gonna tell the waitstaff. I'm like, do not fucking do that. Do not tell the waitstaff it's my birthday. And he secretly did.
I'm that guy,
and
too.
And they sang to me, and then like, I'm never hanging out with you again.
I give that warning on my birthday. No one sings. There's no embarrassment happening tonight.
That's funny because I have been the person on the other side who says like, oh yeah, no singing. Oh, I need to go to the bathroom.
No, I did it awesomely. Like we were working at Games Radar. I'll just say it's Christian Nunn. He was leaving. So I told the entire waitstaff at Red Robin that it was his birthday.
Ooh.
And paid for a Sunday. Wow. It had like a 2-minute birthday song sung to him just because he was going to a better job.
I think he would have taken it well.
He did.
So Burns promotes Homer to junior executive as a way to understand the common man. And Homer throws out his idea as to what would make the common man happy, and that is more tartar sauce.
Yeah.
For the fish sticks.
Bob, is this the line of the show?
For me it is.
All right.
That's the joke.
That's our line of the show, Jingle, in case you don't know.
That's why I promoted someone who's in touch with the workers. You.
I think you mean him, sir.
You, then. How would you improve the worker situation?
Well, sir, for one thing, we had a problem every Tuesday when the cafeteria would serve fish sticks.
Fish sticks? What in blazes are you talking about?
Well, sir, they cut the head off the fish and chop up the rest of the sticks and then put seasoned bread.
I know what fish sticks are! Get to the point!
Well, you only get this tiny little cup of tartar sauce to dip in them, and I always run out.
Will you stop wasting our time, Simpson? Shut up, Smithers! Can't you see what he's saying? A happy worker is a busy worker. 3 cents worth of tartar sauce could save us thousands of man-hours in labor. I like the cut of your jib, Simpson. Let the fools have their tartar sauce.
Tartar sauce.
Oh.
And then we're treated to, like, a montage of, like, just, like people ladling tartar sauce onto plates. Like, dig in, boys. There's plenty for everybody.
It's so gross. It's mayonnaise with relish in it, people. It's not magic. Oh.
So this, like, number one, I love the way he says tartar sauce.
Mm-hmm.
Then also that what I like the bit next where Smithers is kind of talking about how people can make stats however they want them to be.
Yep.
Like, oh, these things are up and all this. And he says, well, that could be just because Homer's not there bringing down the average.
That was part of my job at this super corporate place of like making up stats to send around. I'm like, I can make these look however I want.
Yes, damn statistics.
This is a worthless job.
But Homer does get the key to the executive washroom, which is this beautiful, glorious interior with like people playing like cellos and live birds and fountains.
I love that sequence so much, and I don't know if any of you listened to the commentary, because I didn't, but like there's that transition from like Smithers throwing down the wash rag.
It works very hard on
it. And the guy running out to grab it. Fucking great.
Oh, the tiles of the bathroom.
And then it transitions from the tiles of the bathroom to the outdoor of the building. And I'm pretty sure that's a direct Hitchcock reference.
It looks like a Saul Bass, like, title, or Saul Bass, rather.
Yeah,
title
sequence. Yeah. Like, I have a feeling that's a reference to something. I just don't know what it is.
It could be the North by Northwest.
That'll be my second favorite North by Northwest reference. The best being Follow That Bird, where Ernie and Bert chase down Big Bird in a biplane.
Ooh.
It is an astounding
sequence.
With
machine guns?
There's no machine guns. Okay. Just laughing.
Speaking of references, this had one of the earliest very lengthy film references. Like, It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah,
that's right.
For like 2 minutes when he realizes his hair, he's running. It's the same window thing.
Merry Christmas!
And the bell is ringing behind him.
Yeah,
like,
dong, dong.
Oh,
yeah.
You know what I did?
I loved his little dance of celebration with the other guy.
Me
who,
too.
Who had Demoxenel. It's
and, but
a
what,
cute moment.
You did it in a previous episode from the first season where I tried to gather as many of Homer's hair care products in his medicine cabinet as possible.
Oh, I have some of these, but please continue.
I couldn't read them all.
I have hair in a drum. Like 99 cents or whatever, 1999. Yeah.
I have Bald Buster, Hair Master, Gorilla Man Scout Blaster,
that's my favorite.
And my favorite, Hair Chow.
Hair Chow.
Hair Chow.
Before we leave the executive washroom,
I wanted to mention that Homer mispronouncing resume.
Yeah, I didn't catch that.
What did he say?
He says resume.
He says resume. Okay. Impressive resume.
Before we leave the executive washroom, I do want to note that Mr. Burns is watching a documentary about Rommel on the Dumont Network.
That Dumont. Which, the Dumont.
These are references I'm just getting now because Dumont was kind of like the predecessor to Fox.
Well,
it was a failed independent network.
Yeah, Dumont was the fourth network. It was one of the first channels and it completely died. So ABC, NBC, CBS.
He's like, I like the cut of his jib.
But he still calls TV Dumont. I was watching the Dumont.
On the Dumont.
And then also that he likes Rommel, the Nazi. That he's like, oh, that Nazi really got things done.
Any reference to the Dumont Network. Was though, just so happy.
Okay, there's a couple moments in this episode that I was like, well, Burns, if even like 3 years later on the show, they do a more extreme joke. Like, Burns wouldn't know what fish sticks is. I think a season 7 Burns would say, fish sticks? That doesn't sound like oldie time
and
food reference.
Mr. What? Burns would not have like a board of advisors. He would be just him and Smithers together.
I loved those idiots though.
They are great
I do
though.
Too. Like we put caffeine in the water cooler.
Yeah. That's my idea.
Those are all my ideas. We could do some round of layoffs to shake the
that
idiots
clip,
up.
The tartar sauce sequence. That is, I think, it's perfect comedy. And like usually like. And that's why The Simpsons is so great, because like if that was written even on a good sitcom, it would pause for laughter like 18 times.
Oh, for sure,
but
yeah.
But it blows by so fast. Like there's like 16 jokes in that one clip. I love it.
So Homer has to give a speech to I guess it's just like the gathering
it's the
of employees. Executives.
He said executives. It's the executive,
yeah, I meant to look into
everybody.
It, the art of self-management.
Yeah, Jico Condry or Jito Condry. It's a real thing. I looked it up. It's all about like communal like working and not having supervisors and just being very like supportive for each other and stuff. Mm-hmm. But he has to give this presentation. Mm-hmm. At the same time, Bart basically has this fantasy of growing a beatnik beard.
And Bart is fascinated by the idea in 1990 of being a 1970s beatnik.
He must have been watching Dobie Gillis on Nick at Night or something. But he ends up spilling it all over the floor, and Homer is just distraught, knowing that he's lost his one key to success.
I love this line, the line from Lisa. He's wiping his hair in the puddle like, Dad's, what did she say?
The line is, Dad is taking this in a less than heroic fashion.
That line ends the scene, I think, too.
He is sobbing and rubbing his hair in a puddle.
I only didn't capture it because it didn't work well. It's a wonderful visual joke.
It's the most pathetic he's looked.
And if you haven't heard us do this, is going out live to everyone now. We did the whole first season together.
Yes,
there's 13 episodes on patreon.com/lasertime. It's like watching the show become itself. Mm-hmm. I don't know, and that's one of those moments to me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and same when Homer strangles Bart. Like it was a nice extreme moment to a joke, but also that they have to jump through a lot of hoops to explain why Homer can't afford $1,000 later when he's making this executive salary.
I think the thing is that there's a scene where he's buying things for the kids, and he's like, we can afford it.
Because Homer's just buy it all.
Marge is saying, we're spending a lot of money.
I captured this because I thought it was canonically telling us why the Simpsons were still poor.
Because Homer saves nothing?
Because he saves nothing.
Yeah.
Hair care products, a new wardrobe. We're not saving anything for a rainy day.
Rainy day? There's never going to be a rainy day, Marge.
There's not a cloud in the Simpson sky.
But you guys notice it started raining when the second Burns finds out about the scam.
Oh, right. It starts raining. Wow. I didn't connect it with that. Wow, that's great.
I didn't either, but I it's connected at the end of the episode, not a canonical placement of why the Simpsons are constantly poor. Because seriously, if you're promoted to where it looks like Homer is, even if he's there for like 2 months, that's a lot of extra money.
Yeah, compared to what he was making before.
Yeah.
But he no longer has his hair anymore. I guess it all just falls out overnight.
It falls out overnight.
Happens overnight and falls out overnight.
So now he has to give this speech. And he's about to get fired, right?
Yeah.
But Carl takes the bullet for him.
Yeah, well, I didn't capture that. I got Smithers tattling. I love that.
Mr. Burns, it is my sad duty to report that one of your executives has bilked the company insurance plan out of $1,000.
What? Bless his hide to Hades! And I was going to buy that ivory back scratcher.
There we go. Yeah.
Wonderful callback.
You hear that thunder, that's the rain starting right there.
And so Carl takes a bullet for Homer and he gets fired and Homer freaks out and Carl's trying to say, like, it wasn't your hair, it's you. Like, you need to be confident, you can do this. But then Homer gives
a
speech.
Him a kiss.
Oh, gives him a kiss, like I'm a fool, and Carl says, My mother
said never kiss a fool.
Thank you. And then he kisses him, and Homer is not offended. He's like, Carl.
And then
Carl slaps his ass on the way out. It's great.
And this is Carl's goodbye to everyone. I love it.
Mr. Simpson, I've taken the liberty of preparing your speech on the enclosed numbered 3x5 cards. All the big words are spelled phonetically.
Phonetically.
God bless
I love it.
You. You are one of Springfield's very special creatures. Your obedient servant, Carl.
Carl. And by all accounts, Homer gives what should have been a rousing speech
yes.
that no one pays
so
attention to.
The cynical statement is that, no, it was the hair. No one listens because he doesn't have
it. Yeah, his failing upwards truly was arbitrary, and he's going to be back where he belongs. It's like, what is this bald man talking about?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite lines, too. Not my most favorite, but when Homer says, if I did this, you'd think I'm crazy. He's crazy!
Yeah.
He's crazy! Jumps up like, he's crazy!
He's burning money.
Yes. But Mr. Burns has, like, a very, like, unlikely change of heart, which I think is what he does sometimes in these episodes.
In the early episodes, yeah.
And he's, like, he understands that the sting of male pattern baldness.
Bald is a cue ball.
But why can't Mr. Burns afford this medication?
Well, I know.
No, so here's my reasoning for it.
Yeah.
Smithers says, oh, it's Damoxenil, it does this. He's like, I know what it is. Like, he's tried it.
It didn't work.
It doesn't work
on doesn't work
on
everybody. The one guy Homer meets when he's like frolicking with his new hair, it worked on him, but maybe it doesn't work on everybody.
Well, I mean, the guy who sells Damoxenil is bald.
It's a beautiful story that like he was king of the hill, top of the crop in college. In his senior year, he went bald. And then he feels like I can't speak for bald people everywhere, and I won't try. But Robert Siegel, the host of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, he wrote a book about bald men in history, and the thesis being that people don't give, like, instinctually don't give respect to bald people. I believe he said, it already looks like you lost a genetic lottery.
Thought of that.
Again, that's him in an interview. I have not read the book, but he did write a book about it, I believe.
So, wow. All right, speaking of, we talked about Homer's age earlier.
Oh, for sure. I want to talk
about
this.
Burns' age here, as a super nerd,
I was there too,
remember,
Henry.
Like, okay, he's 81. He said he's 81. Burns is 81. By season, I remember it specifically as the episode Homer the Smithers in
season seven. Yeah.
Homer says he's 104. He says he punched him in his 104-year-old face.
And in
face.
This episode, Homer guesses 102.
Right.
Yes.
So he's actually under. And since then, I feel like, no, Burns is 100 years old. They treat that way. It really bugged me at the time, especially when season seven, they were the big nerds. They knew every fact. They should have known every fact about The Simpsons. And here they add 25 years to his age.
Did we say he said he's 81 in this episode?
I'm only 81.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And that seems odd because Mr. Burns' mom is like 124 years old,
yes,
too.
Yeah,
who's still alive, I guess, canonically. Did she ever die?
She's never died as far as I know.
Striding about his Adam Mill.
Yeah, it really annoyed me that they changed his age like that.
Yeah.
You know, for his jokes to work, for him to remember like the beginning, the first baseball game ever played. He can't be, even in 1991, that's 81 is not young enough to, old enough to remember that.
Yeah, for sure. And the scene at the end is very James L. Brooks and very not modern Simpsons, but I found it very sweet where where Marge is singing "You Are So Beautiful to Me" to Homer, and then Homer joins in agreeing with her, like, "I am so beautiful to you."
That's one of, yeah. I love that joke because it is a cutesy poo hug of a joke, but it's also about Homer's stupidity and his selfishness. But he's like, he's selfish because he's thinking from his perspective. The giving thing, to sing it back at her from his perspective.
Agreeing with her,
yeah.
That
she's too beautiful, so beautiful to him too. But instead he's agreeing to, like, I am that to you. I am so beautiful to you. Like, no, Homer, come on.
And like, it is still sweet and it is fitting with his character. Yeah. But Marge still, like, comforts him. And that's how the episode ends. Just like, Marge still accepts him even though he failed.
They point this out in the commentary too, though, that Demoxenil exists. Like, the episode doesn't end with Demoxenil not existing.
Yeah, it's still a thing, yeah.
It's still Homer, prohibitively expensive.
Homer is, but we live in the later years where, say, in the episode with Itchy and Scratchy and Chester J. Lampwick,
oh, right,
where Bart just says, Homer, can I have $7,000 or whatever? And he just hands it to him out of his wallet. Buy seven things of Demoxenil, Homer. It's, you got that money.
Maybe it was taken off the market.
Over that one.
Maybe it was taken off the market because it was never mentioned again. Maybe it caused those, like, birth defects.
I think with those extreme results that it should be. If you
they tampered in God's domain. There has to be a drawback.
I mean, if they had just, I feel like even in season three, they would have put in a quick line just saying, like, and Demoxenil was taken off the market because it was too, it was causing cancer.
And something. Some monsterism.
Some monsterism.
Pleasant taste, some monsterism. Well, that was Talking Simpsons for Simpson and Delilah. We'll be back with another episode, the Halloween episode.
Oh, so excited.
So get ready for that. As for me, I am Bob Server on Twitter. And please listen to Retronauts, the classic gaming podcast, and read my stuff on US Gamer and Something Awful. How about you guys?
Well, this whole thing started with Laser Time, the Laser Time show on iTunes, but lasertimepodcast.com is the place where you can find this episode and many other podcasts like Video Game Apocalypse, our weekly video game show, our weekly comic book show, Cape Crisis, our semi-weekly VG Empire, and Cheap Podcast. Oh,
the
my
God.
One.
5 days a week, man. It's busy time.
And if
time.
You go to youtube.com/lasertimenetwork, we do video game streams and stuff, including there's an entire playlist of Simpsons games that we've streamed.
Hell yeah.
And they're all bad.
They're the all best one was the first one.
Arcade, it really was.
Arcade's the best.
And I'm H-E-N-E-R-E-Y-G on Twitter. Follow me for updates on all the cool things I write and post about on Laser Time as well.
So we'll see you guys next week with the first Treehouse of Horror, a landmark episode. See you then, everybody.
Credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling, you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.